Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, this is God's word. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. The men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? And my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night, they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son. She named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is one of the most famous examples of evil in the history of the planet. What happened in Sodom was well deserved. What was their sin? Well, obviously, homosexuality. But it wasn't just that. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 16, we read this from God's word. "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen." So it wasn't just the homosexual thing. No. It was a whole life of sin, starting with arrogance. I don't know what you feel is a real problem in American culture, but if you think that arrogance is confined to one political party, you are mistaken. And furthermore, if you think that's just a problem here in America, you are mistaken. It is the human heart. What got Satan kicked out of heaven? Pride. The sin of pride. He wanted to put himself in the place of God. And that's what he has led us into throughout human history. Instead of humbly receiving the grace of our Creator, we want to be our own God. We want to do our own thing. And that arrogance is absolutely the path to destruction. One of the ways in which it manifests itself is exactly what it says in Ezekiel 16. Overfed and unconcerned. No compassion for those who have less. Haughty. And engaging in all kinds of other evil too. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was well deserved. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was complete. This wasn't the first time that they'd gotten in trouble. They had to be rescued, you'll remember, by Abraham. But when they were rescued by this godly, God-worshiping man, and by the way, among those rescued, Lot and his family. They were already living there at the time. That's what got Abraham involved. And when Abraham, who so clearly was different from them, was the one used by God to rescue them and give them another opportunity, they didn't say, okay, I want to learn about the God that man worships. Lot could have told them about the man, the God that man worships. Lot was grieved by the wickedness that he saw every day. We know that because of 2 Peter chapter 2. He was grieved by what he saw. He knew it was wrong. Hated to see people living that way. But he was becoming part of the culture. He was getting sucked into that himself. I just am staggered when I read chapter 19 of Genesis, and then I read 2 Peter chapter 2, which refers to Lot as a righteous man. What? How can he be called a righteous man when he offered his daughters to a bunch of men bent on rape who were outside his house? That's inexcusable. That is absolutely intolerable. How? He's supposed to be the father, the husband, the protector, the leader. But he had stayed so long in this hideously evil place that he's now sliding into a mindset that says, well, you just got to do what you got to do in order to get what you want. Want to protect these men? I can offer up my daughters. Those poor, innocent girls. Well, not exactly. You read the rest of the chapter and it turns out they weren't so great. They had grown up in Sodom. Parents, don't think your kids are going to be immune to the godless culture that surrounds them because of your choice of where to live and how to educate your children. So, oh no, my children would never do that. One of the great tragedies of our day is parents who abandon what Scripture says about things like sex because their children have gotten hogtied by the enemy and they want to be loving toward their children. And so they decide that they can sacrifice what God says in order to be supportive of their child. You do not show love for people by supporting their doing something that is wrong. Period. But it's rampant in our culture. And it's tragic.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We see in this chapter not only the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in a very real way, the destruction of Lot's family. Lot looked, when Abraham said, you make the choice, Lot looked and he saw what looked good. And he chose that. And so he went to the city, and the city was evil, and he knew it was evil, and he felt grieved every day by the evil that he saw. And by golly, he wasn't going to pull his family out of there. Even when the angels are warning him, this place is about to be destroyed. You need to get out now. He was like, and they had to grab him physically and pull him away. Why? Oh, this is home. This is home. How can we? We've got possessions. We've got stuff. This is our home. Lot would lose his wife that night. How'd that happen? She disobeyed God's word. Well, for goodness sake, haven't we all disobeyed God's word? Yes. And that's why we sing songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. All of us have sinned. All of us deserve God's wrath. But the fact of the matter is, one of our grievous sins is an arrogance that says, I don't think my problem is that bad. I mean, who are you to judge? Don't talk to me about it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But I don't think I've done anything that bad. Okay? I don't think I really have a problem. I mean, we all have problems, but I mean, I don't think my problem is any worse than anybody else's. That attitude toward our own sin is how we end up with a plank coming out of our eye and looking at somebody else and saying, hey, buddy, I think you've got a little speck in your eye there. You want me to help you? It's easy for us to overlook our own faults. Lot's wife was told, like Lot and Lot's daughters, don't look back. She looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Apparently, this was not a slow process of accretion where, you know, it was like, boom. Kind of like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, arguably, Sodom and Gomorrah had been being destroyed by their own wickedness for a long time. But one morning, boom. Western civilization has been rotting for a long time. But read the book of Revelation and you find out that there will come a day when God's wrath will be poured out on the earth in ways that will cause people eventually to realize, oh, this is God's wrath. And at that point, the remaining humans will fall on their face and cry out to God for mercy. No. When the survivors realize it is God's wrath, they will cry out to the mountains, hide us from the wrath of God. Why? Because the problem ultimately is not ignorance, it's arrogance. It's hostility toward God. I don't want him to be God. I want to be God. I don't want anybody telling me I can't do what I want to do. Well, the creator of the universe is the ruler of the universe. And so what is astounding is that anybody can be reconciled to him. That's what makes Amazing Grace so amazing. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt as they're fleeing the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Having been brought out of the city, the angels say, you need to go to the mountains. And he says, oh no, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. Did he have bargaining power at this point? Not really. But God was so merciful that when he says, let me just go to this small place that's close by, okay? It's called Zor because it was close by and it was small. I don't want to have to go to the mountains. Could I please settle in this small town that's close by? If I go there, I think everything will be all right. And the angel says, okay, for your sake, I will not destroy that small town. But hurry and get there. Go straight there. Because I'm waiting until you are there before I send destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. And the plain. Even the plants got killed. So they went to Zoar, the three survivors, Lot and his two daughters. And after a while, he was afraid to live there. Why? Why do you think he was afraid to live there? Because obviously the people of Zoar were just like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he began to think, ooh, this is not a good place. I can kind of see the same thing happening here that happened there. I think I better get out of Zoar. And so he goes up now into a remote place in the mountains, and he and his two daughters live in a cave. And the two daughters decide, we're going to get what we want. I guess our only choice for a partner is Dad. And he's not going to go along with that unless he's really drunk. So let's get him really drunk. And they get their father really drunk. And then they engage in incest. And they have kids by their dad. The Moabites and the Ammonites. Would you say at this point that his family has pretty much been destroyed? Oh no, we're carrying on the line. That's not the godly line. Well, but it's a baby. That's what really counts. It's a baby. Babies are wonderful. Babies are precious. Babies are not guilty because of their parents' sin. Children that are a result of rape, a result of incest, are not worthless because of what happened that they have no control over. But that doesn't make rape and incest okay. The solution when there is a child as a result of rape or incest is not to kill the child. The child is not the one who deserves the death penalty. But if we begin to behave as if there's no big problem with rape and incest, it all works out, it's okay, then we have completely missed the truth. Human life is sacred. But it is precisely for that reason that humans need to do what the creator of life says. And the way that we treat others is not up to us to decide. God says, this is how you're to treat your neighbor. This is how you treat your family. This is how you're to treat your enemy. And if we are going to be his people, we need to take very seriously what he says. Pastor Wood, you've seemed a little somber today. Kind of, harsh. We're talking about fire and brimstone coming out of the sky and destroying two major cities in that time. We're talking about a family that knew better, that fell in love with Sodom. I can't make that pretty. I must warn all of you that God's judgment is coming. Well, how could Lot be called righteous? It wasn't because of his behavior. It was because, apparently, he came to trust in God and in his grace. And whatever our sins, if we cry out to God for mercy, God declares that we are righteous.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.